We're rolling. Happy Brownload Day, everybody. It's the Brownload. Thank
hello.
You. Sir.
Happy Brownload Day.
Thank
hello.
You for
hello.
Allowing us VIP access into your ear holes.
Wow. We, beautiful. Through your buds.
Through your buds.
Well, actually, if you've got two, through your bud buds.
Through your bud buds, coming out in your bud buds. We can influence you. We're in your bud and out your bud. We are everywhere, from every orifice, from even the journey to the orifice in the morning. We're there. This is the Brownload. Welcome. How are you? And we are, of course, online. We're not together.
We are. We are. Why are we online, Tommy?
Because I am in the Netherlands. I'm in Holland, where people smoke the marijuana. They like to smoke the weed.
Kazakhstan?
No, that's a pretty good Dutch impression, I think you find.
Well, started off for a first few seconds.
No, you're right. It is a little bit yakshimesh. It is a bit, because, but it's
a bit slower. You went fast.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. I'm actually in the middle of nowhere in Holland, because we've come to a Center Parcs here. Because I did that desi thing of, Center Parcs is roughly, I'm going real right, about £1,500 a week in the UK.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Over here, £700.
So I'm like, half price.
Buy the flights, they're about £80 each. Bosh, done. But then you have to do a bit of a trains, planes, and automobiles to get into this middle, like the station I'm at.
What's the tariff?
Well, firstly, we landed in Rotterdam, then got a train to Eindhoven, then got another train to Horst Sevenum. That's where I am.
Oh.
And I'm near, I'm a short ride away from wherever that is. But basically, this, are you like this? The name of this place that I'm in is called Eat Midal. Het Midal. Midal.
Het Midal.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a Jamaican person saying that I've eaten their dal. Hit me dal. Oh, no, I don't like it. Hit mir dal.
No, mir dal.
Mir dal. Yeah, no, it's mir
dal. Yellow dal.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, no.
I have to ask, how did all of this traveling go down with the family? Because
you got to think, you know, Logan's now 7.5. Milo's coming on to 12. And
more importantly, the boss saying, "Who the hell organized this?"
Yeah, fully.
Boss, fully. As you put it, Mrs. loves it. She loves, like, oh, good, get out. Don't just do the luxury thing. She, bruv, next month, she's doing the Three Peaks challenge. 24 hours.
That's good. That's good for. This is dragging the whole family around.
But this is like suitcases. Yeah, it's lugging around.
You should have just gone to the one in Leicester. It's down the road.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely. But the other flip side is, sometimes I feel like my kids are too privileged. I want to rough it up. Yeah. I want to go, you know what? Tough. It is cold. And bruv, I was freezing last night. We're at a station and there was nothing around. We come out this Horst Sevenum station in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
This station is just like some, you know, some bricks and a little bit of track that went through it, and they've made a station out of it. Right. And you know, when you look for an Uber in the area and there's nothing.
Oh, there's
and
no then, movement. There's
and,
nothing.
And then when the driver came to pick me up eventually after like nearly 20 minutes, which is a long time to wait for an Uber.
Yeah.
And he was the only one in the area that was coming. And he goes, his name was Edward, right? And he went, oh, I was at home. I was having a dinner with my wife.
We're having a coffee.
And when we saw like the job, and I said, I'll put my trousers on and go. So the geese had to put his trousers on.
Wow.
Out of his little bin to come pick me up and take me down the road to share a product.
That's good, though. Do you know what? I kind of like that life. It's nice. Yes. You know, you're just sitting at home. You know,
your trousers off.
Trousers are off. And then all of a sudden, a job comes. You've got to go do it.
Yeah, hey. You know what?
Great. I love that.
Sach has just seen himself in the future. Uber driver, pants off. But yeah, Kev can be the Uber driver that turns up with his pants still off. Going to go, what? Listen, mate, if you want me to get her in time, if I want to, and by the way, first Uber driver I've ever come across.
I think that's brilliant.
First Uber driver I've ever come across, 5-star rating, full five, not 4.98, 4.99. But then I think he's only had one customer in the last year and they've given him 5-star. That's all it is.
No, but so, that's just, I mean, look at the way of his life. He doesn't know what he's doing in the next hour. A job might come in. He's got to go. He's sitting there with his trousers off, spending the evening with his missus. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's having a coffee and he's like, oh, I've got a little fare I've got to go and take. So, you know, go and do that. And then you go home and then you might go home, take your trousers off, and another one might come in. Then you put it back on and go again.
I think it's trouser related.
But honestly, I just think, do you know what? What a cool way to live.
We don't know if Satcher's got any trousers on at the moment. We can only see.
I've got trousers off.
But it was it's nice. Look, so it's a little week. The kids are off for 2.5 months for Easter. I don't know how long this Easter break is. Ridiculous. It's too long. It's like half the summer holidays, I swear. So a little break out, but it's nice. We're on bikes, it's sunny, we're in the woodlands, we're fresh air, we're away from devices. It's been a long time actually since we've been away, so very much enjoying it. But I feel like you know, it's weird because we work so much. We all do. I know you guys do as well, right? We work around the clock. There's always lots going on. So when you actually stop, it's weird. It's a hard feeling to kind of go.
It is weird, yeah.
Oh, okay. And I've weirdly still got this sort of angst in me to check my phone, check my emails, check what's going on, all that. So I'm not too hot on what's going on back home because today I didn't really check too much. Haven't been across news stories. Can I pick up on something from last week, though, on a news story?
Yeah.
It was Kedge, wasn't it? Pushing for, I need to know what's happening with
Kate Middleton.
We need to know. He was banging on the door of Buckingham Palace. Call on the Raja, call on the Raja, right? And all that.
I was honestly highlighting the flaws in the PR.
No, hang on a minute, Kedge. There's no need for you to do that. Like, you know, I think me and Tommy kind of had the same stance last week. And we were just like, oh, all right, fine. You know, she says that she doesn't want to be in the public and whatnot. It's cool, leave her to, isn't it? I'm sure when she has some sort of news to say, she'll say it, which is what she's clearly done. Whereas Kedge sat there trying to look through every conspiracy that he's found on Twitter and TikTok and all sorts. Oh, now this is happening. Piers Morgan said this. Oh, you know, if half the
I had intel from Piers.
No, but you didn't have intel because at the end of the day, the news has come out of what's actually happened. Well, and to be fair, do you know what? Everyone I've seen has just gone back running with their tail between their legs. Like you've just
Firstly, all I was doing was pointing out the flaws.
No, you wasn't. You were there saying, I pay my tax money. I need to know what she's doing. And I'm sorry, you don't.
You were part of a baying crowd, Ken. How guilty do you feel now?
No. Look, she's come out. She's
undergoing serious treatment.
No, look, what I'm saying is, and I was having this chat again. Like,
it's none of your business. It's still that. Kedge, it's still none of your business.
No, I don't want to be a part of the business. But you do. No, I'm saying is that why were there so many cock-ups from the establishment, which basically we trust and we have 100%, you know, sort of faith in? Because all this has done, and actually the fallout from this is that we are now, and you've got to think about it, we are now at peak AI deep fake level, where what this means is the nation is now, we don't know, and we are questioning everything that's coming out, right? Going, hold a minute, is this real? What's been tabbed? What behind? We are like, this is like the peak where it's reality and deep fake has all merged, and we can't tell what's real. And on the back of this, the likes of Russia and China are going, hold a minute, this country is this country is in a dilemma, because all the people, imagine the level of faith and trust at the moment. We don't know what's real or what's wrong. People can now really mess with stuff and with bots and stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. It's all well and good you saying that, but she's come out and she's just kind of said what she's needed.
No, that's fair play. And we wish her the best for that. But I think
you're taking it too out of Kedge. No one really thinks like that apart from weirdos like you. Everyone else is normal and be like, do you know what? We don't care. Let her get on with it.
You've got to look at the bigger picture. And I just think, as a country, as a nation...
I think you're making a picture out of... There is no picture. There's not even a sketch. There's nothing.
We do not believe anything now.
There is no picture. It's not even a dot to dot. Do you know what I mean? And he's a dot to dot. And he's turned into Vincent Van Gogh.
Sorry to tangent again, like I always do. But wasn't dot to dot the best thing ever? When you were young...
It was so good. And it was better when you couldn't tell the shape. No, but it was better when you couldn't tell the shape. Sometimes, it was a really obvious octopus and he was like, oh, I know what this is. Why am I even joining the dots on this?
Yeah. But then obviously you felt like such a good artist as well, because like, you'd be like, oh, look at that. I just drew Peter Pan. Oh, how'd I do that?
But did you always have a friend who, like, let's just say if it was an octopus, right? And they haven't figured out the shape. So they would be drawing these like hard, straight lines. And I'm like, this is the head.
Yeah,
so go from one to two.
Maybe Tommy, this says it all. He's even trying to produce his mates dot to dot. Yeah. That sums up what kind of fella this guy is.
Back then, you could imagine the kid, you know, one of his mates just finished the doctorate. He goes, okay, great. Just come to my house tonight and we'll have a little 360 review. I'll give you some feedback, honestly, a little debrief on how you did today at school. It's Kedge management material.
It really annoyed me. Shut up, Kedge.
On a side note, I think we all jumped back to the Kate thing. I said, on a side note, I think we all jumped on the kind of, ooh, what's going on? And we were hearing all the theories.
Yeah, but that's no reaction.
No, we didn't. It was just Kedge. Tommy, me and you, we were just like, cool. When something needs to be said, it'll be said. It was Kedge. Kedge was the one that was sending us all sorts of stuff that we didn't really care about.
Have I shared my conspiracy theory with you as to why this country, ever since the Queen's died, has gone down the pan?
Look at it. Here we go. Look, here we go again.
This
is deeper than Kedge.
This is.
I'm telling you, Tommy, just stop.
Just stop.
Nah, I tell you what, Satch, this is so bang on the money that I actually thought I need to record this and put it up on TikTok.
Tell me.
You do that, and you get deported.
No, I'll tell you. Okay, shall I share it with you? So, as you may or may not know, you two do know, I was writing, and I have been writing for years, and it keeps going and coming away. I'm trying to write a film about stealing the crown jewels, right? Yes. I've always liked that story. I'm trying to write a comedy caper. It keeps changing format. I keep changing my lead characters. I'm set down with different people. But anyway, so it's been in the making for years. Anyway, because it's Kedge in it. Yeah. It, basically, what we realize at the end of the film is Kedge is the crown jewels.
Kedge is the jewels.
The end results in Kedge getting away with the jewels because there's a surgeon that sews it into his ball sack, and then he has to go back to Gujarat and have it removed. But they remove all three. I don't know where I'm going, but that's already a good film. So it's called The Crown Jewels down there. Do you know what I mean?
Kedge's Crown Jewels. I mean, it's got alliteration and everything.
It's got a lovely ring to it. Exactly. And I think your Crown Jewels do have a lovely ring. Just buy it.
No,
here's my theory. So in researching The Crown Jewels, what we know about the Kohinoor is obviously this steeped in history, blah, 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 all that. But let me cut to it. The Kohinoor is known to have a curse. And do you know about the curse?
Yes.
Is this common knowledge? The curse is that if it is not in the hands of a woman, if it's not held and owned by a woman, it will bring down, I forget the exact words,
here we go,
bring down the house is what it's called.
The house of cards.
Yeah. So basically, ever since the Queen died, what happened? 2 days later, Liz Truss collapsed the economy. Soon after, interest mortgage rates. Then you got all these other issues going on with royal family, with business, with energy prices.
Yeah,
you know,
everything happened. Yeah, I know. Greg's couldn't even take payments the other day. Right. Was that because of it as well?
Yeah. So exactly. So everything is bad. Look at this country right now. We're now rated second lowest on the charts of, you know, happiness, all that. And what I'm saying is, sorry, this links back to Kedge hating Kate Middleton.
No, it's not Kedge.
We moved on from that. You're working. He's working on himself, ladies and gentlemen. He's working on himself. It's a process. It's a journey. So what I thought is, because at the moment it's in King Charles's hands technically, because it's gone from his mum to him. So he needs to quickly give it to Camilla or Kate. One of them two needs to go, we're in charge.
Or Meghan. No, not anymore.
Right?
This is the weirdest story I've heard. I wasn't ready for this on the podcast today.
It's a fact.
Kedge has come out with some conspiracies in the last few weeks. Tommy, I think you've just topped all of that.
Bruv, the stone is cursed. The stone, well, you could argue there's been many people jumping up and down right now saying this. It shouldn't even be here in the UK. I actually think right now the Kohinoor belongs to planet Earth. It's a object which is so amazing, but it should move around. I think it should go back to India. It should probably go back to wherever it came from before it was in India. Was it Iran or Afghanistan somewhere? It was there. It was the sultans from there before it got to the Punjab and all that. Let it move around the country. It's an amazing thing, but it has to be controlled by a woman, like all good things. Like, look, you know, I'd like to think I'm a little diamond. I'm definitely controlled by my woman. So there you go. I'm in her cable land. So no. So what I'm saying, I think there's a theory in that. So anyway, anything else you want to badmouth about the royal family, Kedge, before we move on?
No. Just like I said, they need a new PR team. I'm sure they're looking into it and they're going into it. But
they're
going
to hire you.
No, but I'm available. Also, we've got to just quickly mention, obviously, a lot of people have been celebrating because it is a weekend of celebrating Holi as well. So a lot of people are out and about celebrating Holi. And then we've got Easter coming up as well. So it's a nice period to be in, isn't it? You know, eggs and colour.
I always said it's because I'm hosting Vaisakhi in Trafalgar Square. And then it's obviously Holi as well. And it's
Eid's coming
Passover,
up.
And it's Easter.
Eads coming up as well.
And actually, what was it? Logan at school, he brought something. They did Persian New Year at school.
Yeah, it was the Persian New Year over the weekend.
Starts with N. Like, I want to say Novak because I just read it in the
Navratri. Like Navratri.
It's Persian Navratri. The food would be great though. The food would be great.
Do you know what?
Noros. That's what it's called.
That's it. That's it.
I had a fella at work telling me about it.
I'm a bit hollied out though. I'm done with it now. Honestly, this week has just been. Oh, I always know when it's holly because I'm really busy, like loads of gigs happening. This year, obviously, you know, with the palaver of last year and all that powder stuff going all over my gear, I didn't take any bookings that had any powder. I said to everyone, I was like, I'm not doing it. If there's that throwing stuff, I'm not doing it.
What's the point of going to a holly gig if there's no powder?
Everyone's doing like UV paints and stuff this year. So they're squirting people with paint and all of that rather than powder.
So you'd rather get squirted?
Well, no, I haven't been squirted because I was behind the shield, the squirt shield.
There was a shield
protecting me.
Ken, yeah. It's a bit like those clubs you go to. There's a little squirt shield there, isn't there? So you don't hit the dancers.
But honestly, it's been good. Like it's nice to see people having a good time. But can I just say, observation, if Bollywood or someone in India wants to make a whole new batch of holly songs, please make them because the ones that we got are old and rubbish now, isn't
they? Oh, that's well... We get like one every 2 years, don't we?
But it's just I need some new material basically. We can't be playing Ranga Barse anymore.
Yeah, but it's the only one.
And the other
Holi
that song
is
not
Holi
Honestly.
But la 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 la. You know how Ranga Barse starts? Is that no? Am I doing the wrong one? Oranga Barase.
Yeah,
so good, man. That's just,
basically. I'm still hollying it as we speak because I'm off to do a holly party at Ministry of Sound after this
tonight
on a Monday. Yeah.
Oh wow, Monday night. Look at you know what? That'll be great because students will go crazy. Students will be wild for it, so that'd be a good student party night.
And I've noticed over the last sort of couple of years. Is it me or is holly just, do you know, it's just become a bit more popular now, like commercialized? Because it wasn't really a thing, was it, 5 years ago, I'd say?
No.
Now it's like people are doing tents outdoors and, you know, having fields.
It's more of an influx of people as well from India now as well. I think the population of people from India has increased and so therefore they just go for it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I see it and I'm just like, do you know what? I still don't think I could do that because I know for a fact that paint don't come out.
You need a good shower, mate.
Well, that first
no, if you're a shower, right, a shower don't sort that, kid.
No, it don't. It's all over timeout now. You know, when you go to timeout, you kind of go, oh, celebrate holly, the color festival, da 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 da. You know, like, and you know, obviously, hopefully, I can say this without getting cancelled again from whatever it is I might get cancelled from. But you know, because of rainbow flags, because of multicolor, because of even now, well, the England St. George's flag on the kit.
Oh my God. Who cares about that?
You know, I'm saying everything's a bit, or anything which is multicolored is kind of like, hey, this is an all-inclusive thing for everyone. Mm. So I think holly's just kind of jumped on or been put into that bandwagon of like, hey, this is an all-inclusive color festival. Like, come and join it. It's fun throwing color. And it's great. It's a great fun run for everyone to be involved in. But funny you say that, you're right. It doesn't come at your clothes. And actually, no. I'm not, because I'm here this year, this week as well. I'm not hosting any holly parties.
Yeah.
But last year I hosted one. Wiped off all the color from my body, changed clothes, but put in my AirPods, which had turned red because the bloody red powder was in my ear hole. It was in my mori. Still to this day, I still see holly being celebrated in my via my AirPods all year round. But I had a mate of mine actually, white guy, ask me, he goes, because he's got another property in the Airbnb, is it out? It's a nice property, middle of London. And he goes, oh, I've got actually. This someone from India, businesswoman coming over, and he goes, and she said, oh yes, holly, we're going to try and go to some holly parties while we're in the UK, you know, it'd be nice to see how holly's done over in the UK. And he goes, oh, what can I buy her? He goes, basically he's charging her good rent, right, just right. between us, right? So right. he goes, what can I buy her and her family, her husband and her kid, like as a little gift, say, hey, happy holly, like what do people give? Is it butterfee? Is it like Ludlow?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
it he was getting is it And I went, nah.
And he's nah. a and I little pitchcari gun.
Huh?
Little pitchcari gun.
No one's got a gun. No,
Little pichkari gun.
Oh, like balam pichkari.
Yeah, gotta have the pichkari.
I don't know what pichkari is. I just knew
it's like a little, like a spray.
So yeah, what you're gonna give someone a spray? What, links?
No, like a little pichkari gun in it. Like in India, you get the ones with the big pump in it. It's
like a spray gun, basically.
Funny that he said that. He goes, "What?" And I went, "Well, I said you got to imagine though. If they're coming from India, they're." Pichkaris or whatever, or their laddus and their barfi.
You can't say that. You can't. If you say someone's pichkari, it means basically how they spray their wee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you say Tommy's pichkari, it means it's yeah.
But then what's balam doing?
Yeah,
balam is that's why it's a balam pichkari.
Okay. I got 99 problems, but the pichkari ain't one. No, but what would you give? What would you say? Is Holly how happy Ali?
Here's a pack of sausage rolls.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
That's what I said.
If I came to yours, Tommy, I'd bring a 4-pack from Greg's.
Thank you very much. And I'd be happy with that.
There you go, happy Holly.
Exactly. So anyway, happy holiday to everyone and happy every other festival in the world to everyone who
it's all happening. It's all happening. Even Easter eggs as well. Do you know what? There's been some really good Easter eggs this year as well. Like there's some good ones. I saw one the other day that weighed 4 kilos or something. Has anyone seen that?
Oh, is that the one with the green pistachio thing in it?
No, that's a Waitrose one where it's a chocolate egg and then in the middle of it it's got a green pistachio egg and I thought I'd like to try that.
So it's still chocolate, but it's just pistachio
egg. So basically it's like an egg in an egg. So the green one in a brown one, milk chocolate and you get 2 eggs for 14 quid, basically. I thought that's a bit steep, though.
Yeah, very steep. Funny talking about chocolate prices, literally on the way here, you know, at the airport, you get the W.H. Smith. And it was a woman and her husband and a kid right in front of me. And they were buying, and it's kind of linked to the Greg's thing as well, actually. Greg's and chocolate. It's lucky new, Satch. It's lucky new. And she ordered, and I went in and I thought, let me just get a few bars of chocolate. Because I need, you know, something to keep us going. I don't know how funky the chocolate's going to be abroad, you know, whatever, you know, you get your own homegrown stuff. So, and I went up and W.H. Smith, they don't really do deals like Tesco. So they were doing the duos, the duo Snickers, the duo Whisper, the
Yorkie.
Duo Kit Kat, the duo Yorkie. Yeah, the bigger one. Mm. And they're currently doing 2 for £2.50, right?
Yeah.
So I saw that and I grabbed one, grabbed the other and I thought, because it's 4 of us, let me get a little selection. So I've got Kit Kat. I think I did Kit Kat, Yorkie, then a Whisper and Snickers, something like that, whatever it was. Bang. And I'm lining up at the till, woman in front of me. She's got one duo.
Yeah.
Right? With her husband's there and one normal one. Right? So, but the guy goes, hey, if you swap this one for a duo, you get the 2 for £2.50. And I saw the husband and he went and he was Asian. They're Asian family, right? Yeah. He was one of these. And I'm sorry, I'm going to just bloody stereotype because I think I can. He's brown guy. He's big guy, actually tall, taller than me. Yeah. Quite not fat at all.
Stocky,
but you know, Javan young.
Yeah. Butthole. It's the Gujarati word.
Butthole.
Yeah. Probably deriving from the same etymology as Bataan and Bataan.
Yeah. Yeah, but big butthole. Yeah. Look at the buttholes on him. Okay, well, he was butthole.
Were you checking out his what? His butt what?
His butthole.
Okay.
His butthole. Anyway, so he's there and he's sort of very passively, but you know, you could tell he's a sweet guy. He just looked at his wife like, well, that makes sense. And he didn't react because I would have.
How dare he react? My God. Someone telling his wife how to do things and he goes, that's a good idea.
I'm an arsehole. So I would have just gone, babe, how did you not even see that? You know, like you should have picked up the 2 for £2.50, right? I would have just done that. But he just went, okay, nodded. And she said, she looked around at him, then she looked and perfectly smiley. She went, no, this is enough for us. Right? Which, as you remember, was a similar story with Simon's missus when she said,
she
tried to buy 3 sausage rolls and he went, it's 4 for the price of 3. She said, we don't need 4, 3's enough.
Right.
And because she said it was glass. But this one, I'm like, you're buying a Snickers. You're buying 2 Snickers, one smaller, one regular. And she didn't do it. And you know what I did? What? I pulled my phone out because I thought I'm writing this down. I have a little note section for anything I see for the podcast, right? Mm. I pulled it out And they all looked at me because it was quite late and there was no one else in that W. Smith. And they looked at me. And now all of a sudden, the guy behind the till's looking at me. The Asian family's looking at me.
What? Because you pulled out your phone?
No. I just felt that they looked over at that moment because she declared, we're not going to go for that. They sort of looked around like any reaction. Yeah. And I looked up at them. I started typing. I looked up and I went, and I held my phone, turned it around. It said podcast ideas at the top. And I went, that's going in my podcast. I said, it's Donald Brownload. I said, I don't care. I said, you can all listen. I said, I'm outing you. I said, that's ridiculous. And I said to the big guy, I went, I can't believe you just took it. I can't believe you're accepting it. He goes, and he just went, but he did such a nice bola smile, you know, like, oh, he's okay. And I'm like, no, you dick. This is how you lose in life. And then I think it's my fault. I'm so wired. I'm so like intense. I'm like, no, you got to get the deal. You know, I booked my restaurant. Yeah, for this resort all last week. I thought, I ain't missing out on the good restaurants. And we got there tonight. We're eating at the restaurant. We're the only ones in there. There's nobody else there. I didn't have to be.
You fell for that nonsense.
I'm that guy.
But that's good. That's not a bad thing. I mean, whenever I go to the airport, WH Smith's is the same thing. I think the deal is if you buy a bottle of water, the Evian, you got to scan the newspaper and you get the water for free. And the newspaper is cheaper than the bottle of water. So it's a no-brainer.
Times or Telegraph.
And I pick up the paper, scan it, and I put it back in the basket because I don't want it. I'm like, yeah, I'll just take the water.
Oh, yeah, but in Tommy's world, how dare you?
I tell you what I'd say. I tell you what I'd say to you straight away. Look, off the top of my head, right now, and I'm like, you're a fool, Satch. Because even if you don't read that paper, I know for a fact, wiping your windows with the newspaper, the carbon on the paper.
Hang on a minute. I'm sorry. I'm going to a hotel on holiday. I ain't wiping their windows. Would you want me to do it? I'm sorry. The Telegraph is a heavy newspaper. I ain't carrying that around halfway across the world. ain't one of those Suns or Metros that you can just roll up and stick in your bag.
Satch is there like, can I not just buy a pamphlet? Can I buy a pamphlet that comes with the water? I'll pay the same money. Just do a pamphlet version.
I'm just saying you have to go for the deal. You can't be doing the. But that's the difference between us. Because Kedge, he's the guy that would just go and buy it full price, double the price.
There's a deal there and they tell me about it. Brilliant. Otherwise, I ain't got a clue, mate.
He's not even looking for the deal. He just blindly goes into whatever it is. And do you know, like me and you, Tommy, we do a bit of research and we're like, oh, we want to buy that. And then sometimes. Even something we want to buy, it might change because of the deal.
Yep. Oh, completely. So now
he's just dead set on what he wants.
I'll go and get it. That's it.
So I don't know if you know, there's a company, there's an electricals company. They sponsor every big concert that we do, PRC Direct. Have you seen them? Right. It's run by Asian guys. They're always at Wembley. They're always sponsoring all that. Right. I went online on their thing to look at a telly for my dad. You know how much? A 70-inch, 65-inch TV is nowadays. Like LG or Samsung. Okay,
so not 700 pounds.
No, they're cheaper than that.
Bruv, they're 500 quid.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
65-inch telly is
400. See that? Tommy, that's the difference.
I
bought the £800 one from Amazon.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden, I saw it and I was like, I was looking at it for my dad. My dad goes, oh, I want a new telly. I've had this one 10 years. I can see, because he's got a new Skybox. So he goes, it's HD and all that. But I can see the telly's not right. And, you know, I think, look, let the guy enjoy a telly, right? So I thought, but then I looked at it. I was like, I'm going to get one as well.
Like, where are you going to stick it?
Put it in the kids' playroom. I do whatever.
Oh, my God, this guy. But you don't need it.
No, but. It's good, like you might as well.
Eventually, you will.
You might as well because it's good of a deal. So I'm talking of deals. I balance it out. Like I only want a deal. I want those things on a deal. So like even like, I went Sports Direct to pick up actually this T-shirt I'm wearing right now because I thought I'm going to be kicking around playing sports, whatever. I just want something I can sort of semi smart play a bit of tennis in, play whatever, just cruise around centre parks, and you know what they sell in Sports Direct. As a sport, you can buy gloves, boxing gloves. You can buy weight training gloves. You can buy tennis, beer pong.
They do sell weird stuff in there.
They sell beer drinking games in Sports Direct. Don't you think that's a bit morally wrong?
Well, no, but you don't have to fill it with beer though, isn't it? They're just encouraging children to put like a Vimto in it or something.
Oh yeah, let's down Vimto. Like, No.
That is a bit weird. I do find that weird.
Goes, yeah, it's a bit like when you, if you were to come at the gym and like there's a kebab van in the lobby of the gym.
There's a calf in every single gym that you go to anyway.
Yeah, but it's not selling doner meat and chips, is it? It's selling
bakwas.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's all bakwas. Any food that's not made at home is bakwas. I'm coming to that point in my life as well, by the way. Oh. Homemade is the only way. I'm telling you.
Why? What's happening?
I reckon in about, this is my prediction, 25, 30 years, they're going to look back on all the preservatives stored, here, supermarket, frozen fast food, and they will look at it as wrong. Like I think it's the thing that's causing
this is this is the Eddie Abeyu effect.
Maybe, but bruv, I've been feeling it for a while because you know me and all my allergies, and I react.
No, but that Eddie Abeyu fella, he doesn't. Some of the things he bangs on about is nonsense as well. I get it. Some of it is good, but there's a lot of nonsense that he does as well.
Of course it is, but that's what sells, isn't it? It's like you social media people, Kedge, putting rubbish out.
No, but he's basing it on just a lot of nonsense. Do you know what I mean? So you got to be careful about. Yeah, all I mean,
it's like your Kate conspiracies. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Cake conspiracy doesn't affect like your own personal health, but this guy telling you what to eat and not to eat, and he's just some gym guy who's basically got muscles and everything. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, let's remember this. There's a lot of people who are just taking information from other people's accounts and putting it out as their own. Don't be one of those people.
No. Ding. I don't know who that's.
We'll leave it at that. Let's not divulge anymore. But people will know.
No one knows what you're on about. I don't know what you're on about. No, I do.
I know who he's talking about because it's been lifted like verbatim. And actually, a lot of people are being called out. A lot of people who are gurus of their game.
Nowadays, if you come across as some expert guru on Instagram, I'm sorry, you're not.
Yeah, but Kej, how is this different to you on Chris Evans's breakfast show when you're the guru that goes in to talk about something you ain't got a clue about?
No, but I'm the guru.
Things do you have about Diljit Dosanjh?
No, but he just asked. He just said, "Oh, what happened?" So I had to tell you, I wasn't going out there, you know, like proclaiming that I am, like, you know, like the mastermind knowledge of Diljit Dosanjh.
I think you did.
Telling him, you know, with a bit of a cheeky smile, just telling him what was going down in India. That was it. Yeah. But there's, as we all know, everyone, see, because nowadays everyone is this like Instagram expert, and everyone tells you the wellness life. And I'm like, you know what? Look at you, firstly, bruv.
Here we go.
Look at you. Before you start dishing out the advice and everything, look at you. And also, just because maybe you might have had an operation, a leg operation or something, you know, everyone goes through a hard time. But, you know, because you've had a leg operation doesn't mean you can start telling me.
You had a toenail come off once.
Exactly. And you've got to journal this and you've got to write it. Oh, shut up. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, if it weren't for Instagram, you still be actually having a proper 9-to-5 job.
But you know that, listen, we've all been at the receiving end of cancel culture and all that kind of stuff. You know how the life cycle works. You're a no one, and then you're up and coming, and everyone gets behind you. Everyone goes, wow, wow, wow. And then when you do too well, they go,
I'm just going to jump in there. I'm going to jump in there. Hold on a minute. So you can be someone if you are working hard and you've grafted hard, and that's a different thing as opposed to just trying to wing it.
I agree with you, Kedge.
And I just, that's the bit that, you know, because nowadays everybody is blagging because it's so easy. Really. You can't verify it. And also, algorithms and all that will pick up certain things. If you've got half a brain cell, you can figure the algorithms out on Instagram and all that. And then all of a sudden, you start getting seen on other people's pages. And then, I'm going to say it, right? But as an Asian, it's so easy. Just pretend that you are some sort of guru who will, you know, tell you how to fast and you'll do this. And then all you need is someone from the Western world to buy into your bakwas. Once that one dude or one female who buys into it going, oh, Kedge is the guru of, you know, vegan sleeping food on marbles. Yeah. That's it. you know, oh, the marbleistic way. It's the most holistic. And then I'm going to connect the moon to the marbles. And if I can connect the moon to the marbles, and then the marbles I can connect to, like, you know, sort of some sort of river that flows through Hertfordshire that only flows in this direction. That's it. Everyone is coming to Hertfordshire to drink this, and I'm making a lot of money.
Mm. He sounds like he's lost his marbles, mate.
Exactly, yeah, but it's the Del Boy, that Barney that he was selling. Do you remember that episode of Only Fools and Horses? And he's got some spring.
Then we should do this and say you are some sort of, you know, person, Kedge, and we can make some money out of it. What's nothing wrong with that? It's business.
Let's try it. Let's try it.
But
again, that's what I'm saying. Then everyone go, oh, wow, he's on it, he's on it, he's on it. He's amazing, he's amazing, he's amazing. Then eventually, oh, he's too popular.
Shut him down. Time
for it to end. On a quick side note, and I don't know too much about it, I just saw the story today, but someone who's being called out can we just say who you were talking about,
I think everyone knows anyway. I mean, why do we have to get involved in it?
What about all this kind of nicking other people's posts and all that?
Yeah, look, everyone's a guru, okay? Nowadays, they just accept it. Everyone's a guru. Okay. That's it.
So Kenny's talking about the Asian mindset life coach person, Jay Shetty. And you're saying that some of his posts have been called out recently by saying, oh, these are reposts from other people in the past. But then again, a lot of that stuff does regurgitate as well. So maybe that could be a bit of a reason. But it's the one I thought was, you know, Rebel Wilson, the comedian, very funny lady. She's been lots of funny. Yeah. She's outrageous. I think she's Australian originally, but she's just hilarious and proper outrageous. She is calling out, it's all over the press, in Variety magazine is all that's been coming out. She's got a book coming out, and she goes, one of the worst people I worked with, a proper a-hole. She said, I've now got a no a-hole policy. I don't work with a-holes. And I'm like,
I think I know who it is.
Go on, you can say it. I'm about to say it, but if you want to say it.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Which is a big, but here's the slightly controversial contrasting, because we all understand the comedy, outrageous comedy process, right? And this is weird because we were kind of victims of that as well. When you tell me you want to go outrageous on your humor, it's, and then you say it in a context of not that humor, it just sounds terrible. But you're like, no, it's you know, Ali G humor, it's Borat humor, and it's Sacha Baron Cohen humor. So one of the things she goes that he was doing was he was harassing her to go naked. Because he goes, it'll be hilarious. He goes, look, I've done it. You know, we had the other guy, and she was quite big at the time. We had another big guy. He goes, it'll be funny, it'll be funny. Actually, I can imagine him being quite intense and harassy on a creative level just to work with. But this is the kind of stuff he's known for. So I don't know. It's a weird one. So we'll see how this one plays out. But it's a case of another one getting the limelight.
So I've got to tell you about my weekend. Basically, I was a case of mistaken identity twice, not once, twice.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, hold on. You weren't being stopped because you're Kedge from the Brownload now. You're getting stopped for being someone else.
I mean, not even, it could almost have been, Kedge, are you that guru that was telling me how to live life now all of a sudden as well? It could have been that, but no, it wasn't.
Right.
So the first case was a mad one, actually, because even I was shocked. So I was last week, just a bit of background, the work thing going on, Talk Sport were having a little football game on, because obviously it's international break, so the Premier League's not on at the moment. So they're having a little game, which was the Breakfast Show versus the Talk Sport All-Stars, and they just had a little five-a-side game. And they had loads of celebrities, ex-footballers, old footballers, just getting together, having a game, kick about. It was actually a brilliant day out, right? So I was there because we had to do some. I was doing some work there, so I was just making sure. No. This is like proper.
You would love to play. I think you'd be good.
I had a little kick. I had a little kick along with Jamie O'Hara, a couple of the other people, I was there just making sure my team, we had to do some bits and pieces of Virgin Radio, so they were just filming there, and I was just overseeing it all. As I was there. I got a tap on the shoulder. Now, bearing in mind, you know, if you think about this, and if you go, you know, along the games of football and what's happened, you know, we had the first Asian referee, didn't we?
Yes.
Oh yeah. In the Premier League.
That's right. Yes. Sonny Singh Gill. And it was a proud moment. I think it was a brilliant, you know, just to see him refereeing that game. And I thought, wow, that's brilliant. You know, we've got the first Desi referee. Right? Yep. We still haven't got the manager. We still ain't got the player. But, you know,
here we go.
Who knew it? Who knew it? We now have the first Desi scout. Who is that? I can hear you ask. It's yours truly.
Yeah.
Because on my shoulder tapped Alan Pardew, ex-West Ham manager.
Pardew ke niche. Oh, piche is Kedge.
Yeah.
Who's the man behind Pardew? It's Kedge.
It's Kedge. And so, you know, when you turn around and you're like, oh my bloody God, it's Alan Pardew. So I was like, hello, Alan. And he went, yeah, come on in. He goes, right, give me a hand. Who are all these people on the pitch? Start naming. And I'm standing there.
No way.
And I'm telling him, because he didn't even know who Jermaine Pennant was. I tell him, Jermaine Pennant. He goes, who's that? I went, Jamie O'Hara. I was giving out all the names. Some of the people even I didn't know. I had to blag a few names as well. I was like,
that's my cha-cha's son.
I just thought, what a moment. So he obviously thought, I don't know what he thought I was, but he obviously, I had to become his scout. And I'm thinking, Alan Pardew, surely he was from the era of these footballers. Do you know what I mean? Jason Cundy, Darren Bent. And I'm like, why does he not know any of these people?
Yeah. But that says a lot about him. This is a guy who gets serial sacked from every club that he's at because he's rubbish.
Such has gone in on him.
He's shit.
I was happy to offer my service as the first Indian scout for Alan Pardew. So that happened. And then a second case.
Hang on a minute. Like, that's just, I don't understand. Like, he's not mistaking you for anybody.
He was managing the all-star team, and he was asking me who the players were on the opposition team. I thought it was hilarious.
I wonder whether he did think you were someone else. I wonder if he's gone, oh, I tell you who's got good vision.
Who could I be?
Jay Shetty over there. Let me go and ask him. Let me go and ask Rishi Sunak.
Brilliant. Maybe you can get this guy to do some motivational speech before the game kicks off, half time. So anyway, so there was that one.
Honestly,
I loved
just
it.
Rubbish.
I know.
Did his team win or lose?
His team, they lost.
Well, there you go. That says it all, doesn't it? After Kedge's little input there.
Never again.
The first Indian scout.
He got sacked after that.
He got sacked in the morning. And the second case of mistaken identity was this week. So as you all know, and I'm going to bang on about it because there's only two more weeks to go before I run the half marathon, and I'm running for the British Heart Foundation. So if you do want to sponsor me, head over to the Instagram page and find the link. But anyway, I was running.
Is it Kedge 1 or is it at the Brownload?
We'll put it on the Brownload as well so everyone finds it. So I was running back and I was coming to the end of it, and I was finishing off my 11-mile run this Sunday. And so, you know, the last couple of miles, you've got to, you know, it starts getting a bit tough. You're just concentrating. I just wanted to, you know, pick up the tempo a little bit. I want to go a bit faster. And as I was going along this real long straight road, there was a lot of traffic coming sort of opposite to me because I was on the right hand side of the road. So it was, you know, so the cars were slowing down and all of that. And I'm quite close to.
Were they beeping at you?
No. Obviously, because it was, you know, they're standing traffic and whatever. They don't care about some average runner. And then all of a sudden, from a distance, I could see an Asian face just hanging out of the window, of the passenger window. Ooh. And here we go. I bet you I'm going to get abused or something. Right? Exactly.
About to say something like mouth open.
Looking at you. Hanging out, right? Hanging out the car. And so I try not to look, but I thought as the car was slowing down, I thought, oh, this is for me. This is coming for me. Mm-hmm. So this guy with a big smile on his face. So as soon as I saw the smile, I thought, smile, Kedge. So I gave it a smile.
Hang on, there is a sing from last week that smiled at me.
Yeah, exactly. I thought this could be the sing. It could be the sing situation, but it wasn't. So I thought, smile, Kedge, because obviously this guy is smiling at you. And then he put his hand out and he went, all right, Satch. and you know, like, I just went, all right, mate. And then I walked, and I carried on running. I'll be honest with you, it put me off my running stride. I lost my pace. And then it was bugging me. I'm like, who is this guy? I don't know him. Yeah. I don't know him. And he's just gone, all right, Satch. In my area. And then I'm thinking, is it the Brownload connection? Is it just some random Satch that I look like somebody?
No. Satch? That is it. That is him getting you to... Can I be honest?
Go on.
Okay. Over the years, let me put a number on it. I reckon the number is 30. There has been 30 occasions where someone has gone, hear me out, where someone's gone, Which one's Kedgy? Which one's Satch?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, behave.
I mean that.
Like we look the same.
No, it's not that. It's like Ant and Deck. You just hear the names together, don't you?
Yeah.
You hear Satch them
and
together.
Satch and Kedgy.
Like, it's like my sisters, right? My sisters are called Goggy and Pam. And one of my other cousin, female cousins, fiancés, because she was telling him about, her cousin. She's going, yeah, my cousin's Goggy Pam. My cousin's Goggy. He thought they were one person. And he went,
Goggy Pam.
Goggy Pam.
And Pam. Oh, I thought, Judge, because he just heard it as Goggy Pam. I'm going to Goggy Pam. So he just thought it was. So what I'm saying is, Kedge and Satch can be interchangeable. And, you know, people know, you know, I can understand that people get you two mixed up. That's not mixed up because.
No. Kedge
has laughed it off. Satch is actually really upset.
I am upset. I'm really upset.
No, I'll tell you what, I was laughing and then it put me off my running stride and I was just like, what has just happened there? I was not expecting that. I was getting to the end of my run. It was all going well. And some bloke's just gone, all right, Satch. So then I get home, I open up my Instagram and I've got a message from Manish. And he went, sorry, bro, I got really excited seeing you and I called you Satch like a pleb. I apologize.
Do you know what? I think he done it on purpose to wind you up because he knew that he'd do you over.
He goes, but it was good seeing you. I just replied, mate, you're getting rinsed on the pod. He goes, and then he goes, I know. I was telling my student, he was a driving instructor. He goes, I was telling my student as we drove past, he goes, I proper screwed up. And he goes, I'm going to get cussed for this. And then she started to wet herself laughing. I went, listen. Oh, man. Imagine the driving instructor properly cocked it up?
Yeah. The fact that he had to take his belt off and a moving car, lean out the window, just to acknowledge the wrong member of the Brown Load is hilarious. But good on him. And well done you and on your 11-mile training as well. And it's not long to go. So good luck.
Not long to go now. Yep.
Talking about mistakes in public, I had another matter on the underground, which is just... I don't know why I bother because I try and do good things and it backfires on me. And I know you can relate with that, Kedge, because I think we've spoken about this a few times over the years. But this will happen. So I'm on the escalators and I'm again. Friday and Saturday. It was a Friday just before we left. And I was kind of squeezing in a load of bits and bobs, finishing up meetings and stuff because I'm coming away for a week. I'm on the escalators. It's fairly quiet. And I saw a woman, an older woman in front of me. Now, she must have been about my mum's age. She took us, you know, when someone slows down and they're holding the rotating black conveyor belty thing, the handrail thing. I don't like touching because of the germs. You know that
who
bit?
Touches yeah. Who yeah. touches not, that nowadays?
She's not holding it, but she's just kind of got her hand above it and she's looking down at the start of the escalator like she's a bit nervous.
Okay.
And then she takes a step and her second step was a little bit slow. So that first leg pulled her forward. Does that make sense? Because it's now on the escalator. Yeah. So it's starting to move her body forward.
She's semi doing the splits then, basically. See,
well, it wasn't that extreme. It really wasn't.
It could have been.
I've seen her do that from behind and I'm in the left hand walking down the escalator lane. So I walk down and I sort of slow down a bit, a couple of steps in front of her because I thought, I just want to be at the bottom of the escalator when she hits the ground. Then just in case she trips, I'm there. Right?
Yeah.
Stupidly overthinking it. Right? Yeah. And I turned around to look at her and she's looking directly in my face. I put my hand up. I went, are you okay? And this is where it went bloody south. Right? Mm. I don't think what I've done so far is anything outrageous or over the top. I went, are you okay? Right?
Mm, mm.
And she went, do I not look okay?
Oh.
Straight away.
Idiot. Oh, yeah. You idiot.
Right? Gaudy woman, right? White lady, older. I just wanted to picture her. So she looked quite sort of sweet. It wasn't like she didn't come in all kind of ethnic attitude, like meaning like she's that Asian kind of going, why? What are you trying to say? Because she's I'm an Asian woman or whatever. And I can, you know, she can talk to me in a certain kind of way, in a community way. No, this is a polite looking, pleasant looking, lovely looking.
Why did you get involved?
Bruv, I don't think that's a bad thing to do. I think it's a gentlemanly thing to do. If that was my mum, I'd want to know that someone might.
Nowadays,
you can't do that though, Tommy.
Nowadays, just stay in your lane. Don't stick your head out of your car. Yeah,
He went in her lane.
Why did you go in her lane?
So obviously I got onto the train and I wrote it all down. So I'm just gonna reread what I wrote here, right? Because I'm trying to relive it, right? So she says, do I look like no, that's it. She goes, Do I look like I'm struggling? Is what she said. Oh. So instantly, I'm thinking straight away, why did I bother?
Yeah.
I should have just carried on walking. Should have left it. But she's my mum's age. I thought, you know, she could have got yanked across. You know, if I was there, I could have stopped an accident from happening. So then I said, no, you know, it's not that you're struggling. I just saw that when you got on, it pulled your leg a little bit. And I was just checking that you're okay.
Ooh,
right. But already I'm thinking, I'm actually thinking.
You've gone into a deep hole. Too far.
I hope you do fall. Instantly, I'm thinking, I want to turn around and just go, forget it. I'm going to walk away. Right. And I want to wrap this chat up and just kind of move away. But this is where I kind of think I sat on the train. And for the rest of the day, that bugged me.
Rent free.
Because what I felt was the world is trying to make me not a nice person. The world's going, you know what? Don't bother being nice. Mm. Be a bit of an ass. Just walk past a lady that you saw semi 20% struggle and leave it. And I don't know why that is. So I don't know whether it's a test that I've still got to be the person that I should be, or whether it's me, the test saying it's time to change. It's time to shut up.
No, Tommy.
Shut up people's business. I think I probably need to. I don't know. I'm learning.
So while you were sort of on the escalator again, you know, annoying people when Kedge was out for his runs, not those kind of runs, but on your marathon runs.
Yeah.
I've been sort of traveling up and down the country. It's been a busy week. And randomly the other day, I realized I hadn't eaten anything. It's quite late at night. And I was like, I never do this. I went to McDonald's.
Oh yeah,
at night.
Always going at night.
Yeah, but it's just I don't do it. Never. And I don't know what came over me that day. And I got there and I was like, "What do I want?" Do you know what I ordered? Again, completely left field. A McPlant.
Why do you do that?
Not a clue. Never tried it. So I thought, do you know it just flashed up on the
screen? I can see the logic.
Yeah. I thought, let me get it.
And it's late at night. You don't necessarily want meat. You don't want their veggie burger. So you thought, let's try something a little bit different. It's kind of twilight hours. It's almost caught you a bit left field.
Yeah.
So this is a chance to be a little bit left field. Okay. And?
It weren't that bad, you know.
Oh,
like, I was surprised.
Really sad.
Yeah, like, as in, it wasn't... I thought it was going to be a lot worse than that. Like, I thought it would be, like, I'd take a bite out of it and I wouldn't like it. But I ate it. And I was like, it's not bad. Like, I don't think I'd get it again. But it was just all right. Though,
with respect, Satch, you've never had a beef burger, have you?
No, I haven't had a beef burger. But then, like, you know, you can get
fillet fish.
No, but you can get like good veggie alternatives that are very. This was too clean for McDonald's. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was a bit.
Wow, you thought it was clean?
Yeah, like it was just was it a bit like there was no like cardboardy? I couldn't really work it out. Do you know what I mean?
I think when it first came out, it was all right the first couple of times. I can't stand it anymore. I think the state of veggie burgers is at its all time low.
Do you know what it was? It was between the veggie deluxe, which I saw, it's the finger thing, and
Terrible.
Yeah, like, I don't know why they do that.
I'm like, why?
Terrible.
I want to have a burger. I don't want to have two fingers in a flipping bun. No.
Yeah.
It's terrible. You're right.
And it's also pesto flavor.
What I mean. So then I thought, I've got to go for the McPlant. At least it's a burger, right?
Like, you do feel it does give you the satisfaction of a burger.
It was okay. I wouldn't get it again, but it was okay. I don't know why I picked that.
The race is on because Burger King have flopped their thing as well. They reintroduced.
I thought you said it was good.
No. So they reintroduced. So they used to do that veggie whopper thing, right? But they've stopped doing that now. And they go, because you know they did this big announcement. Oh, we're bringing the bean burger back. So everyone got excited. All the vegetarians got excited because it was the original bean burger, which was like the long, sort of thin buns.
Yeah, like a chicken royale, but a bean
burger. That's it. Yeah. And then everyone thought that was coming back. It's not that. It's round. And it's disgusted. It is the worst thing. If you can think of a fast food veggie burger at the moment, you would be killing it because McDonald's and Burger King are not it at the moment.
Actually today at Centre Parks, there was a little place because the Dutch are big on frita chips.
Do you know what that keeps popping up on my Instagram, you know? It's showing them, you know, chips from actually going Amsterdam because it's a thing there where you get them in the cone and they put all the sauces and stuff on it.
Because I used to do voiceover in Holland like 25 when I just started 20 odd years ago, over 20 years ago, and when I came and that was when I first had mayo all over chips, and you know the way they do it, and so they like to look, and their chips are good out here. There's something about their fries are just all good. It's always been good. Anyway, today there's a little place here, it's got loaded fries, and my missus goes, oh, get me, I hate this, by the way, she's in the other room, so I can't talk too loud. She went because she goes, Mum, I'm gonna go sit down with the kids, we've just been swimming for 2 hours. She goes, let's just get some fries, take us over till dinner. I said, good idea. That's why you're my wife. Good. That's the way I think. That's the way you should think. That's the way I expect my wife to think. This doesn't count as a meal. This counts as some food on the way back to the room. It doesn't have to worry.
Yeah.
So, and I went, oh, they've got loads of different flavored fries. What one do you want? And she goes, whatever. I said, well, it's not a whatever decision. It's
no, but that's where you got to take control, bro.
Yeah, yeah. That's on you a bit, Tommy.
Okay. So I did. So I got her the chicken satay.
You'll be wrong. But you've got to take control. I said, you'll be wrong, but you've got to take control.
Well, I was wrong. So
of course you were.
I got the chicken satay one for her because I know she likes chicken satay. I'm sure she
Why are you it. Saying satay? It's satay.
No, it's not. It's satay.
Satay. What is a satay?
It's satay. It's not satay.
It's satay or satay.
No, it's not satay.
Are you sure it's not sata?
No. 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 Satay. I don't know what satay. That is. It's
chicken satay.
You're saying it wrong.
I'm not saying it like chicken satay. I'm not saying it like that.
I don't know what you're saying.
It's satay chicken. It's not satay chicken.
Satay chicken.
I've never said satay chicken. I don't even think I've even heard.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't eat it.
Yeah, but have you not had the satay sauce? You know, with the peanut.
Satay.
Winding
me up, you saying
that. I don't know. I've never said it. I'll be honest. I've never said it. Satay.
Duki pe duki ho. Ya satay pe satay. Satay pe satay. I don't know. There should be a show in it. But anyway, and I got my whole point about all of this. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here again. My whole point was that I got the Philly cheese steak loaded chips with cheese and jalapenos. I was like, that's me.
She likes
Thai food, Chinese food, all that. And for wicked, she loves satay chicken. Ordered it, brought it over. Bruv, nowhere on the title of the food, only in the description when you read it, did it say plant-based beef, right? Uh-huh. That was on my chips. So when I had this Philly cheesesteak one,
disgusting.
I put nothing on my
top. That plant-based beef stuff is bruv, grim.
Well, what's the name? It's the same as a plant-based burger. So it was that, I was like, oh, this is weird. It's got like a weird... Like a weird aftertaste. So it just doesn't taste the same. And I was like, oh, I don't know what kind of herbs they put in it. And then she tried it. She goes, oh, I'm not a fan of yours. And I went, oh, can I try some of the satay?
Satay.
A little bit. But then the two flavors are too funky, like just mixing it all up.
Oh, that was a disaster.
And I want to just add to that and say, I don't think the plant-based thing is working. There's a bit of a backlash. Everyone's saying plant-based is not the way to go because these plant-based foods are just actually really super processed. And secondly, can I tell you some inside knowledge from the world of chutneys? My vegan chutneys sells one to every 30 of the normal chutneys.
No one bothers with that nonsense, mate.
No, but I actually thought chutneys because I thought eggless, completely vegan, da-da-da-da-da.
Everyone bends the rules when it comes to sauces. I think you're allowed. I think everyone likes to bend their sort of, you know, values.
You bend your sauce, do you?
No, everyone, because you know, like, you know, there was that sauce where they had the one. Remember, I had that, discovered that sauce that had crustaceans and everything in it. You know,
Used to eat.
No, I don't. I can't, but I'm missing it. I think I might have to venture back.
He's going to go, I knew it.
Yeah. But it's the fact that
it's got a bit of shrimp in there. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's the fact it's got crustaceans. The fact they call it that, like not seafood, not fish. By the way, I'm not a big seafood fan. And again, on the plane yesterday coming over to Holland, right? They went, oh, we've got the vegetarian option and we've got the non-veg option. I went, oh, what's the non-veg option?
Yeah.
And he went, it's smoked trout. I went,
what?
No, what's proper non-veg?
Yeah.
Like, what have you got?
Yeah,
you
but know, in Europe, they don't count fish as meat.
Right. And then, I don't know, what happened was a few years ago, we went on a stag do and I booked all the flights for everyone. And I put the stag down as a low-calorie meal just because I like to mess with them anywhere I can.
Yeah.
Somewhere, that's still on my bloody BA profile. And I got the low-calorie meal.
Was that just a banana?
No. And I thought, result. I went, is it veg or non-veg? And he went, oh, it's non-veg. I went, result. I said, what is it? He goes, prawns. I said, I piss off. Like, come on. Like, what? Prawns, muchy. The two non-veg.
Stinky,
like,
stinky, oh, on a plane. Shouldn't be allowed.
Depends what kind of prawns are. I'd have mashed them. Depends if they're cooked or not.
You have to. You need to eat them.
Very good. No, he would have yammed them up.
Yammed them.
Right, what's everyone been watching this week?
Right, TV, yeah. Not my figure.
Can I go first? Because the thing that everyone's watching at the moment, and it's promoted everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard anyone say anything bad about it so far, which is always a good sign. Everyone's seen it and it's been like, it's amazing. And I've got to say, it's amazing. The Gentleman on Netflix. Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie's.
Honestly, 8 episodes. If you've watched the film The Gentleman, it's kind of loosely linked to that, but it's like its own story. Each episode, you know, story sort of continues. And I just think it's just so good. Guy Ritchie never misses.
He delivers that kind of thing, doesn't he?
He delivers and it's all right,
that,
you know.
That genre.
I think you know what you're going to get with him. And I think I've worked it out this time. Like, you're going to get some sort of gangstery stuff. There's going to be drugs involved. There's going to be some gypsies in it because he loves gypsies and all of these kind of things.
He likes communities.
He likes community. Then there's always like a sort of brown person in it. Guz Khan's in it in this one. I didn't know nothing about it. And I was like, wow, that's a big deal. But it's just made really good. And I thought, when it finished, I thought, I don't know if I want to watch anything else because I don't think he'll be that good.
No,
you know, it's it's now that I've got a big gentleman size hole.
Pardon me. I bet you have. It's funny because I haven't seen it yet. I want to make proper time to get into it, watch it properly. And I do want to watch it because Guz is in it. And not only that, I saw some tweet because obviously you follow Guz, and Guz replied to someone else's tweet saying Guz just makes acting look so like such a fun experience. He does in this role.
He's really good in it. He's only in one episode, but he's really good in it.
Apparently,
but lots of Desi jokes in it, like in his the way he speaks. So all of the stuff he talks about, like he just throws random Desi words in, and we're laughing our heads off.
Brilliant! No, I want to watch it. But also, there was a poster here because we got the plane, obviously, and we got the train, and on the underground in Eindhoven, there's a big poster, and it says it had NR1. On Netflix, number one on Netflix, and a digital poster of The Gentleman underneath it. And I'm like, look at that, all across Europe. That's what you forget about Netflix. It's not ZTV, it's not ITV, BBC One, it's everywhere.
And speaking of something else that I keep seeing is when my mum's watching Colours TV, Tommy popping up every 2 seconds with an advert for Desi Beats. And to be fair, quite a few people have sent it to me this week as well. They're like, oh, Colours is on the background. Look who's on the telly. And I'm just like, yeah, see him every week.
Can I tell you something as well? I'll say this here because I wouldn't.
By the way, this week you're doing an Easter special. You're around some lady's house who's a bit of a celebrity, apparently.
Yeah.
I saw that advert. Her husband's in it as well, isn't he?
That's right. And it's weird talking to you about it. I'm moving on.
I saw it about 10 minutes before we got onto the podcast.
I know, but I'm not going to have a conversation. But weirdly, I'll tell you truthfully, the first episode that went out didn't rate that well because they get the figures overnight. And they were like, ooh, what's going on here? Then the second one just shot up. Third one, it beat Madhuri Dixit's show, Dance Diwane.
Wow, bigger than Madhuri.
All the bosses messaging and go, oh, you're more popular than Madhuri. Oh, you're more popular than Madhuri. And all this kind of stuff. And again,
Madhuri who?
Yeah. And then it was on Sunday, just gone. Because Sunday's the episode that goes out, the new one. And then I got the text today saying, and this week's one beat last week's one. Ooh. And then he sent the graphic. Colours is the most watched Asian channel in the country. So I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I thought D or Sony might have been up there as well. But it was, he went, look, there it is. And he got the chart and Colours at the top. So you're right. It is doing well. And that's what's nice to do. But I just love it. Real talk. Like, look, it's not like, oh my God, this is all I want to do. And I want to cook and all that with people. I watch people cook all the time. I like it because it's our kind of show. You turn up around someone's house, they tell you what they make, and you get a real insight to what someone's like when you watch how they cook, how their kitchen is, what it looks like, the layout, the styling and all that. So it's a kind of an immediate instant thing. You whiz in, record, film, eat, get out, and I get to try good food. And it's all darka. It's just all onions, garlic, chili, onion, tomato.
Yeah, so that's basically what I've seen this week. So, Kedge, what have you seen?
So I saw the other big show on Netflix, which has come just after The Gentleman, and it launched on Thursday, just gone, and it's known as Three body problem. I'm sure you might have seen the trailer for it popping up on your screen as well. It's an adaptation of a Chinese sci-fi novel.
Three body problem.
Yeah,
that sounds like some human centipede kind of shit.
No. This is it's binge worthy. I smashed out three episodes on Friday. I never watch anything three episodes, but like I normally just do one at a time. But it was so good. It's mind bending kind of series from the creators of Game of Thrones. So you know it's proper. Oh, do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's proper. It's scientific.
Give us a little lowdown.
I can't really give you a lowdown. But basically, I'm gonna just keep it really basic.
Just
a Chinese woman makes a decision in the 1960s, which then goes to effect now. And that's what I'm going to say, because I don't want to, honestly, the way it unfolds and everything is brilliant. And I posted about it and someone replied going, Kedge, the only way I can understand if this is good is, would Satch watch it? And I said, no. And they go, thank you, I'm out.
They're out. I thought, because that could also mean they're in, because Satch also has watched all of the Fast and Furious. So
I
don't watch Fast. I've seen them all because I'm sorry. There's
no.
Listen to me. If Tommy, I think me and you have probably gone to see Seven or something together in the cinema. We've seen quite a lot. If the next one's out and I'm on a plane or something, I might as well just watch the next one, because it's like I want to complete the set, innit? I'm gonna like half watch it. To be fair, did I tell you I watched number 10? It was on Sky Movies.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
It was terrible.
I don't know before Satch actually gives up on it. I don't know.
It's one of them ones. I'm not excited to. I wouldn't go to cinema to watch it. But if it's on, I might just watch it. Little time pass, isn't it? One of them. I'm going to watch the Chinese program that you're watching, Kedge.
Three body problem. It's really deep. And for Netflix, it's a really good one on Netflix, because I don't think Netflix have had anything like this in a long time. So it's a brilliant one. It's in English. A lot of it's set in England as well. So that's quite interesting.
It sounds a little bit Butterfly Effect. Remember that one with...
Yeah. Well, there's a whole lot of shows actually at the moment, which has all got the same kind of sort of pattern and the same kind of storylines, the same kind of sort of theories about, you know, folding time and folding space and how you can, you know, move across galaxies and all of this kind of stuff. And I find that fascinating, because we're, you know, like I said, we're on the cusp of all of this anyway now. Do you know what I mean? It's like AI and all of this, you know, with Elon Musk and Neuralink, and, you know, did you see that implanted a little chip into the bloke's brain? So now basically he was paralyzed from the neck below, and now with he had the accident, and so therefore he was paralyzed and he couldn't move or anything. Obviously, he just had movement from neck above. And now Elon Musk created Neuralink, which is a chip. You put it on his brain. He can now, with his mind and thought, move the chess pieces on the game in front of him, like on a computer screen.
I'm sorry, but like...
It's like a Wi-Fi Bluetooth link.
Why are we messing with...
No, but he's just sorted this guy's life out, right? From just being completely paralytic, like he can't move, to all of a sudden, he can now at least play... He used to love playing chess before when he was an able-bodied person, and now he can play chess again.
But how is this, like, is this, you know, like, is it legit? Like, is it fully tested?
Bro, it's in the guy's head already.
No, but I'm sorry, but, you know...
It's amazing.
All of these bits of, like, you know, when people had the vaccine and stuff like that, people saying, oh, you know, it's not being tested. Would you have a chip in your head?
I think if you're in that situation, you would.
He's definitely got a chip on his shoulder. But you know what? Look, skeptical. As always, this is... I think even Elon Musk said it in, like, a Joe Rogan thing, and they're talking about the chip and the Neuralink thing and all that. And he goes, well, you know how Elon Musk is kind of a bit awkward in the way he kind of...
He's not even had it in his head.
No, that's what he said.
But he don't need it. Yeah.
No.
Oh, shut up. Just put it in then, isn't it?
He goes...
That's got to be the best business card. Put it in his own head.
Yeah, exactly. But he goes, nobody wants to be patient number one. You know, like nobody, and he's right. Like it's like anything, but it's like self-driving cars. You don't want the first version. You want version 3 or 4 or 5 once they've probably crashed a couple of times. You know what I mean? You're like, no, I'm not doing it.
Kedge wants the first version.
I'm going in.
He wants it now.
Well, you've got to enhance this technology. I just think it's you know what, people when we got all of this technology available to us, I think why would anyone say no to enhancing your brain capacities and your ability to be better? Why would people say no to that?
Well, just imagine if the chip is there and it's safe. Like now, I've got to Holland. Imagine like I could speak Dutch. Oh, yes. What's all your...
Well, of course the chip's safe. It's in the bloke's head. It's working.
Oh, yeah, that's safe, isn't it? We'll just open his head, stick a chip in.
Yeah, but it's working. Watch the video.
Like you're some sort of Nokia 3210 that you just open the back up, put a chip in, and away you go. It makes no sense.
I'm sure they've been tested.
Because I tell you what's going to happen with this, right? Then the next thing will be, oh, what's the matter? What's your problem? Oh, I smoke 400 cigarettes a day. Well, guess what? We can tell the Neuralink chip that you don't smoke anymore.
Yeah,
you go, oh, right.
It's the start of it.
And then all of a sudden, your wife goes, oh, guess what? He doesn't really show me much attention. We'll update his romance levels. Yeah. So all of a sudden, he's like, he'll come home like Shah Rukh Khan.
And Tommy, you know, Tommy, you're describing what happened in Westworld. Do you remember?
Yeah, right. So you can literally then it's like, how much is this chip? How much is this Tommy? How much? Who's what? Where?
This is why you need to listen to Joe Rogan.
Basically, at the moment, we've got fake people on Instagram. We're going to have fake people in real life.
Well, we have got fake people in real life.
No, but it's just going to be even more because this is like at the moment, you know, as you said.
This is why I was saying we are at the peak level of not as humans not trusting reality and deep fakes. We are at the peak of this where we don't know what to trust because of what's happened with the royal family. Yeah. Anyway, the other thing to watch as well, which I thought was a brilliant film, it's been nominated loads in the Oscars and BAFTAs and all of this kind of stuff. It's got Emma Stone in it. It's called Poor Things. It's a reversion of like a Frankenstein kind of thing, but slightly futuristic. You know what? It's crazy. There's a lot of nudity in it, but it's a brilliant film.
Actually, okay, cool. I'll watch it.
I didn't think Kate Bush was in it, but there's a lot of Kate Bush.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, but it's a great film.
That's good. That's awesome. All right, things we've learned then. Things we've learned this week.
Go for it.
I'm going to go first because mine's this kind of casual one that I'm mentioning it because I think at the end of the year, let's face it now, we've all got our eye on the Christmas episode prize. That's what this year.
I think you're putting unnecessary pressure on this. It's become a different thing now. You've got to roll it out.
No, it's Champions League now. What's happening now? It's like, you know, we're Man City now. And we're like, look, unless we get that trophy at the end of the year, there's no point in any of this. All of this has got to lead up to that.
Kedge is still in the relegation battle at the bottom of the table. He's a Sheffield United at the moment.
He can turn it around, but he's just got to make some smart decisions in the next 9 months, right? Or so, 8 months.
Okay, so, go on then. Go for it.
Okay, so my one is... because this is my theory, at the end of the year is when they always do the, hey, these are the words of 2024. Like, these are the words that came about this year. So I want to jump on this one early, and then hopefully it'll be relevant around Christmas time. Then I'll be like, oh, yeah, that was in the things I learned from the end of March. So the thing I learned is the word that means a stylish and confident and attractive man. They're called... a zaddy. Z-A-D-D-Y. Zaddy.
Zaddy.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Is this like slang?
No, it's... well, it's, yeah, I guess... what would you call it?
Like the new age lingo.
Put it this way. There was a very dapper...
Bear zaddy.
A very dapper man, right? He was... I'm going to say... I don't know why I'm not saying... he's a black guy wearing a suit. He just looks solid, right? And the guy with him sort of said something like on the video, like, oh, yeah, I get called this, whatever, a lot. And then they looked at the other one, and it was like a room full of people. And he went, I get zaddy quite a lot. And the room erupted, like, clapping and stuff. And I thought...
What does he mean?
And he went, zaddy, urban dictionary jobby. It's a stylish, confident, attractive man. And I was like, there you go. Zaddy. Z-A-D-D-Y.
So you describe somebody as zaddy.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you be a zaddy daddy?
Yeah, I think that might be where it comes from. It might be like that, but it doesn't say a stylish, attractive father. It's not like a dilf. You're not saying that. You're saying zaddy.
Zaddy. No, I heard of that.
Or Zaddy McGuinness. You know, he's Zaddy McGuinness. He could refer to himself.
Do you know what? Actually, I think we should write this word down and see if anyone uses it at the end of the year.
Well, I'm hoping this might trigger it, and like that woman in the 1960s, cause and effect.
This is the call. Yeah, yeah. It makes the call.
There you go. That's okay. What I learned. What you got?
Should I go next? Go on. The fact that I learnt this week is, it is true that birds can't fart. They can't fart. They can't fart. It's, wow. Pigeons can't fart. They don't even have the actual, like the anatomy or the physical capabilities to fart.
A sphincter.
There is no need There is no need for gas to be inside of a bird.
Yeah, but so what? They don't get gassy.
No, they don't get gassy. They just poo, and that's it. There's no farting element.
Huh? Ah. With all those seeds, nuts, or
no, they just. They don't even.
It just comes out in liquid state.
Yeah, their insides are not the same as a human. Yeah, where we
haven't got the same level of intestines that we have.
Yeah, literally, there's no. If there is any gas in a bird, then it's sick. It shouldn't have that.
Right.
Wow.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Birds can't fart. Pigeons can't fart.
I would have thought that poo and gas. I'm sorry to be crude here. Sorry, everyone. But I would have thought they go a little bit side by side. That one.
Well, no, that's because we're human.
But that's in humans, Tommy.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to work out is how something smelly and horrible like poo can be created and then dispelled from a body without any gas relating to that product. Most product, any product.
Yeah, they must think we're weird that odor. We actually fart.
Yeah, they probably get scared if you fart near them. They're like, what's that?
Yeah, they probably think, oh, why doesn't it just all come out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you watch... you don't, and I don't even know why I started off with, do you watch TikToks where people fight in front of their dogs?
No,
I do.
No,
and it's funny because
what do you watch, honestly?
Yeah, I know.
Right. Take his phone away from him, please.
Right, exactly. And I tell the kids off, and I'm like, I'm on it myself. But they drop a big, like, they start filming their dog, and then they drop a big bud, and you see the dog just like, what are you doing? Or we'll make a face like, and then run away. Just move off the bed and stuff like that.
Whatever entertains you, Tommy.
I know. This is what he watches. This is what he watches.
Brilliant. Birds don't fart.
My one.
Here we go. Come on, Sheffield United. Let's have it.
It's a good one. Right? Here we go. Do you know what the word prima donna means?
Well, yeah. It's someone who's acting like a little bit of a diva.
Mm. Yeah, but where does it come from?
Pre Madonna. So is it Madonna, like the mother of mother of Jesus? And if you're pre Madonna, then before she was chosen to carry Jesus, she's pre Madonna. Like, I don't know who you think you are. You're acting like someone before they become Madonna. I don't know.
Wow. No. So like you, a lot of people. Thought that it came from, because obviously, like you said, prima donna, if you describe as a prima donna, you know, you're people think that you're a little bit difficult to deal with, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And people thought that it came from the singer Madonna, because people sort of put that together thinking, you know, she must have been difficult to deal with, you know, throws her toys out the pram. That's why
prima donna. You're not saying you're being a Madonna.
What do you mean pre? So what, how are you spelling it?
P-R-E.
It's P-R-I, Madonna. This
no,
one is
P-R-E.
Pre, because you said you got to be before Madonna, so it's got to be pre. Yeah,
but sorry, you're right. I think pre-Madonna, when you're saying it, is spelled P-R-I, but it has the same effect meaning as P-R-E. Okay.
All right. Well, let me tell you. And please. You are today's years old when you find this out. And this is incredible. Firstly, let me tell you that it's prima donna.
P-R-I-M-A.
Yes. So it's prima and then donna. Okay, so that's the first thing.
Kebab.
It's like, how are you before you get to the kebab shop? I'm pre my donna.
Yeah. Hungry.
Right.
Yeah.
So hungry. It's not linked to Madonna, the singer, or Madonna, who's related to Jesus somehow. Basically, it's
or the kebabs.
Yeah, it actually means, and obviously, like we all know that, you know, it refers to a person who's difficult to please, but it actually is the words prima donna. What it means is she's the most important female singer in an opera. So if you're being called a prima donna, you're an opera singer. You're not someone who's basically, you know, like, it's not a negative word. You're being referred to as an opera singer. And so therefore it means, and the reason why obviously they're saying that they're big, you know, being demanding, I think, because if, you know, opera singers, they're the main people in the opera. So therefore they're the prima donna. Do you get it?
Good. Yep.
So obviously, yes, they are going to be demanding and difficult to please because they're the main singer.
I'm going to go to the club tonight and be a prima donna.
Yeah. There you go.
Why haven't you got my bottles of Evian ready?
Yeah. Hello. exactly. And I only wanted the 750 milliliter ones. I don't want the 500 milliter ones.
Proper. Yeah. Red sports cap ones.
So there we go. So it's not pre Madonna, it's the prima donna.
Prima.
Prima.
Very good. So if someone was getting really stroppy about their doner kebab, they could be a prima donna because they're they're being diva-ish about their doner kebab.
Prima donna donna.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Prima donna donna.
So it's not an insult anymore. They're just basically calling you an opera singer.
Yeah. Kedge, not bad. I think not bad.
So far,
he's coming back.
I wouldn't say he's back. He's still floating around that bottom three area.
I think takes time.
If you're Dr. Dre, no, and I'm Eminem, then we're looking over like our 50 Cent lying here. We're creating him. We're going, look,
we're 50 Cent.
I'm trying to find two people that. Oh, okay, if you're, we're two people that created this one. We're working on it. It's a process.
Okay. He's more like someone else, like from G Unit, Tony Yayo or something. He's done like one song, one of them ones.
One hit wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Still
a prima donna about it, but brilliant. Okay. Love you guys. Thank you very much. And thank you all for listening. And we are out of here after Kedge says something because your eyebrows are up.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No. I was just like, wow, we finished.
Yeah. But we, you know what? We actually said, let me just tell everyone, we actually said, look, I'm in Holland. We're online. We'll make this a quick half an hour, 40-minute one. It's fine. How long have we been going, Satch?
About an hour and 20-ish. Yeah,
it's been one of the longest ones.
Considering I need to leave like now to go and DJ as well. Well, I was trying to get a nap in, but I think that's gone out the window. That's happening now. So I'm going to have my gig tonight, falling asleep behind the decks.
I think I'm just rambling because I've had too much time with the family. So it's probably just my little getaway. But now I better get back to reality. So thank you, gentlemen. Until next week.
Laters.